Well, we're going to dismiss the Sunday school children this morning. And let's stand for the reading of the Word of God, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. And I want to read down through verse 27. Felt this in prayer last night. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. And I want to read through verse 27. It's good to be here. Good to see each and every one of you. Somebody said amen when you get there.
Amen.
All right. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. If you notice here, the scripture says, therefore. Everybody said, therefore. All right, that connects the two different situations here. The first part is now being connected with this second part. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be like unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Amen. Praise God. Great was the fall of it. I want to preach a little bit this morning, minister from the Word of God for just a little while, on building your life on the rock. Building your life on the rock. And when we talk about building our lives upon the rock, it can have as much meaning to the young ones as it does to the elderly. Because this is the day that the Lord has made. His benefits are new every day. And so today becomes the day of salvation. Today becomes the day that I make up my mind to serve God and to do His will. And if you've fallen, if you have gone by the wayside, that doesn't mean that's the end of the story today. Praise God. Because the day of flood is coming. Amen. Not like Noah's day. But Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. We had some rain yesterday. And I looked out the window to see the rain, and there was a beautiful rainbow. The second one I've seen in my whole life was the rainbow went all the way. I saw the complete, total rainbow. It was so very beautiful. But that's God's covenant saying, I'm not going to flood the earth again. Amen. Next time it's going to be by fire, and we must be prepared for what is coming in our future. Building your life on the rock. Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God, and we ask you to anoint it to our hearts. Lord, speak through these lips of clay this morning that we may hear your Word and do your Word. We give you thanks. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. You know, Jesus had a way of getting to the point through his parables. They were very, very simple, and yet they were very profound. They had profound meaning to the real issues of life that all of us face. And the most profound issue of life is whether or not we are going to serve the Lord. Amen. That really is the most important thing. And it's brought out in the greatest commandment in the Bible, and that is to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen. And that there is only one God. And this truth this morning, I want to look at it here. There are many that are going after their personal desires in our generation. The Word of God and the church is not as important as it used to be and is certainly not the same as it used to be. But we must understand this morning that Jesus Christ paid for the church at Calvary. And somebody said amen. Thank God for that this morning. I'm so thankful that He purchased us with His own blood. And the church is the apple of His eye. The church is the thing that He desires to spend eternity with. And so in this parable, we read that there are some similarities, there are some differences. And to get the full gist of it, we've got to go to the words that He spoke previous to this parable. The parable of the man that built his house on the rock and the one that built his house upon the sand. And so we go to verse 23, or verse 21 rather, Matthew 7 and 21. And He says, "Not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of My Father which is in heaven. Many will say to Me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name have cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from Me, ye that work iniquity." And so we've got to look at that, and these words that He spoke must be addressed personally. This is a very personal thing that we have here this morning in this relationship with the Lord. Or if you don't know the Lord this morning, we've got to face this very personally, and we have to say, do I love God with all of my heart? Do I love God with all of my strength? Do I love God with everything? And to love God is to obey God. To love Him is to obey His commandments and to do His will. Praise God. There's more to it than just saying, I love God. There is more to it than just saying, Lord, Lord. That word Lord there means supreme in authority. It also means by implication master. Amen. It means controller. There are going to be one of two things that control our lives. One is going to be our flesh and sin, and the other is going to be God. And we cannot choose between the two and say, I'm going to just have a little bit over here and a little bit over here, and that will suffice. But this morning, what we must choose, Jesus said, you cannot serve God and you cannot serve the world at the same time. You will either love one and hate the other, or you will hate the one and love the other. You cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. And so it is more, living for God is more than confession. Praise God. Somebody help me here this morning. It's more than just making a verbal confession. It's more than just words that come out of our mouths. There are those that say, but they don't do. And after a while, you lose confidence in them, right? You lose confidence if all they do is say this, that, and the other, but their life is completely different, or the way they treat you is completely different, then after a while you lose confidence in them, you lose trust in them, and their word does not have the honor that it should have. Praise God. And so this morning what we speak is very, very important. And when we speak Lord here, then we are acknowledging that He is our master, and our life is completely in His hand. Do you feel that way this morning? I hope you do. I hope you feel that your whole life is in His hand, and whatever He wants you to do, that you are willing to do it. not just to say it, but to do it. There is a parable where Jesus talked about two sons of a man, and he told one young man, one of his sons, he said, "I want you to go over here and do something." And he said, "Yes, Father." And he acknowledged the command from his father, but he did not do it. And then the other son, he said, "I want you to go over here and do something." And he said, "I don't want to do that." But then later he repented and he went and did it. And he said, "Which of the two did the will of God? Did the will of his father?" And they said, "The second one who actually did it." Amen. It's not enough just to say amen at church. It's not just enough to say, "Lord." It's not just enough to say, "I love God." There is a very important part of love, and that is the actions that follow the love. Amen. The actions that follow the words that we speak. And so it is very important, amen, that we do the right things. And it's not a matter of how much you prophesy, and it is not a matter of how much you cast out devils, and it is not a matter of how many wonderful works you do, amen, because those things can be accomplished by people that are not right with God. And it is right here in the first part of the scripture that we read this morning. Well, somebody smile just a little bit. Praise the Lord. The Word of God is good. The Word of God is right. And so he says here that many people will say, "Lord, Lord, we've done all of these things, cast out devils, prophesied, done many wonderful works, built hospitals, did all kinds of things, fed the poor, and all of that." And yet the answer that comes from God is very intriguing here this morning. And he says to them, "Depart from me." He said, I will profess unto them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." It almost seems as though the Lord is not appreciative that they have done all of these wonderful works. When I first read that, I was my first thought. I thought, "Well, Lord, look at all the good things. Can we eliminate all of the good things because of one particular area?" Well, it makes a difference what that one particular area is. If we are not willing to obey the Word of God, then it becomes a very important issue to God Himself. And he says, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And so in the middle of their good works, they were sinning. They were in the middle of iniquity. They were in the middle of rebellion against God and against the Word of God. Praise the Lord. It's very important. This is very serious here this morning. Amen. Maybe we'll shout and praise the Lord and worship here tonight. But this is something that we all need to consider in our hearts. And so think about it here this morning. Let's just ponder this for just a moment before we move on. God is not into performance-based relationship. And we ask ourselves, why is that? Why is God not so impressed with our performance as much as he is our obedience? Praise the Lord. We could go to many places in the Word of God. We could look at, and I was thinking about this last night, we could go to the scripture where the Syrian, Naaman, the captain of the host of Syria, was a mighty man in valor, and he had done all sorts of things, and he had accomplished all sorts of things, and he was a leper. And leprosy is a type of sin in the Bible, and he could not control it. He could do everything, but he could not control his sin. Amen. He could be faithful in many, many other areas, but he had no control over this area. Very, very much like sin. And so the word of the Lord came to him and said, if you want to be free from your leprosy, go down into the water and dip 7 times in the water and you'll be healed. Praise God. What a beautiful picture we have in the Old Testament of water baptism. Amen. For the remission of sins, for the blotting out of sin, for the elimination of sin in our lives. Praise God. What a wonderful thing it is. But it is not just a matter of talking about it. Naaman did not say, Lord, Lord. He said, let's go down to the river. Eventually, he got his attitude straightened out, and he went down to the river, and he dipped 7 times. It was his obedience. Amen. Somebody said obedience. Obedience. Now, we got to look at it here a little bit deeper this morning, because there are many in our generation today that say that we are not saved by works, we are saved by grace, and that's all there is to it, and all we have to do is make a confession, and that we are saved by grace and not of works. That's in the Bible, and I believe that scripture. But when Paul wrote that, he was writing about a particular area, and he was dealing with a particular situation. They were trying to prove that salvation came by the works of the law, because there were some who came to the New Testament Christians and said, in order to be saved, you must be circumcised. And Paul said, circumcision is not going to save you anymore. It is not a part of joining the kingdom of God, or not joining the kingdom of God. Amen. There is a new way now, and the new way is to be born again. Praise God. And he said it is not of works. So when you look in the scripture, there are 2 kinds of works. Amen. The works of the law, which is the civil law, and then there is, or 2 parts of the law rather. One is the civil part of the law and the ceremonial part of the law, and then you have the moral law of God. Praise the Lord. And one is to be obeyed, and the other is not anymore. We don't offer animal sacrifices at the church. We're not saved by those works. Amen. But James, the first pastor of the New Testament church, pastored about 50,000 people. So I guess that's probably larger than any church anywhere in America. And he said in his writing to the church, he said, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And he said, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered his son upon the altar? And so now we have 2 different kinds of works. We have works that are performance-based, amen, and we say, Lord, Lord, this is what we've done. Like the man that came to the front of the church, and he began to pray, and he said, Lord, I fast every week, I pray every week, I give, and I'm glad that I'm not like other men, and so his works were not impressive to God because they were not based in any commandment. Amen. But there has to be obedience, and that is the works that he's talking about. We're not saved by our works. Abraham did not come up with the idea one day, I'm going to offer my son as a sacrifice to God so that God will be pleased with me. No, that's not the way it was. The Lord asked him to do that, and he did it by faith. He obeyed. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And so obedience is very, very important. And they were into performance-based. They were into counting numbers. They were into how many devils were cast out, how many healings took place, how many wonderful works took place. But they were not interested so much in the details of the Word of God. Folks, I want you to know this morning, and this may be a little bit different than what I'm used to preaching. But the truth of the matter is, the Word of God is the Word of God. What we have this morning is the unadulterated Word of God. I thank God for it here this morning. And there is truth in the Word of God. And it's not just enough to shout around the truth. We have to obey the truth. Well, praise the Lord. And so, I can feel like some of us want me to move on here. Praise God. But he goes on and he connects this. All right, Matthew 7 and 21, not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. And he established that we must do the will of God. And then he says, therefore, amen. Therefore, there are two people here, two kinds of people. And it's really very, very simple. Both of them wanted to build a life. Amen. And that's what I want to preach about this morning, building your life. Praise God. It's important how you build your life. You cannot cut corners in some things that are very, very important. Praise God. I see pictures of people in other countries, and they literally live in shacks. They literally live in squalor, poverty, and have no water. In fact, I was invited, and maybe I shouldn't even say this, but I was invited to go overseas recently and to be a part of a missions outreach. And I began to pray about it, and I began to make a couple of phone calls. And because of my health issues and so forth, I declined the invitation to go. And I found out that in some cases, there is absolutely no water. They bring the water in a 5-gallon bucket, and that's how you take your shower. Not a shower, you just sponge yourself off. And it is very, very far away from any kind of hospitals or whatever. In fact, I spoke with Brother Smith, and he goes into Ethiopia quite often, and he said, Brother Worse, he said when Brother Solomon's brother was sick, he was in the emergency room, and he said, I flew into the city coming into Ethiopia, and I decided to go by and visit his brother. And he said, I was not prepared for what I was getting ready to see. He said it was the intensive care unit of the hospital. And he said when he was all finished visiting this brother, Solomon's brother, he said, he told his wife, he said, honey, if we're over here and I get sick, do not take me to the hospital. Do not take me to the intensive care unit. Just bring me to the hotel and pray for God's mercy and God's healing. Amen. And, you know, it's very important. That's why these countries have so many difficulties. That's why it seems like some countries can never pull themselves up and can never better their lifestyle and can never better these things. Some of the basic foundations of health, which would be running water. Villages in our world don't have running water. They don't know how to drill a well. Nobody's helped them to drill a well to get running water. And they live in poverty. They don't wear shoes. And it's because of their ignorance of health and governments that will not allow any funding to go into those areas. So this morning we're very blessed, aren't we? We're very blessed to have a beautiful church to worship in. We're very blessed to have homes to live in. Good homes that don't leak when it rains. Amen. Good homes that the spiders and all the creepy critters can't just walk in because there's no door or no window in our house. We're very, very blessed. But when it comes to our spiritual house this morning, it's very important how we build our spiritual house. Amen. And everybody's building a house. Everybody's working on something in their lives. And there's going to be a time when we come to the test of what our house is built upon. And I know this is a very familiar parable, and probably you've heard it many, many times. But there was a wise man. Somebody said the wise man. Wise man. And the wise man took and began to dig down. Amen. He began to dig deep, and he dug, and he dug, and he dug, until all of a sudden his pickaxe hit something hard, and he realized he found the rock. And who knows how deep it was. Maybe he had to look up to see ground level. And then he had to put concrete down in there. And he filled it all up. Oh, what a task, what a job it was. Much, much time was spent just laying a foundation. And really that's what this is all about, is the foundation, building your life on the rock. What is the foundation of your life this morning? What is the foundation of what you're doing, what you're preparing for your future? It makes a huge, huge difference. And he spent a lot of time. Folks were probably making fun of him. Why are you spending so much energy and so much money, so much time, and you haven't even laid the first two before in your house? You haven't even started yet. Well, I'm getting ready to do that, but I've got to lay a foundation first. And folks, what Jesus literally was saying here, and think about it here this morning, think about it. The Bible says in one place that when he was finished speaking, that they said, no man has ever spake like this man. And the Bible says that he spoke words that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. That's what we're reading here this morning. That's how important this is here this morning. Amen. These are words that had never been spoken before to any man, and it was so simplistic, and yet I'm afraid that there are many, many who will miss it. What he was trying to say here is, the man that built his house upon the rock was the man that heard the word of God and did the word of God. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. He took time to make sure that he was doing the word of God. He took time to examine his life and to say, are there areas of my life that I haven't accomplished here yet in obedience to the word of God? Have I really looked at the word? Have I really looked introspectively and said, what is it about me? What do I need to do about me? Amen. He did that. He spent a lot of time doing that. And then later he began to build his house. And maybe it wasn't as beautiful as the other man's house because part of the investment was underground. It was way down deep onto that rock, and it was something that cost him a lot of money, and so he had to cut back here and there, maybe in some of the areas of his house. And then there was the man that built his house upon the sand. I hope y'all are just going to stay with me here this morning. Built his house upon the sand, and he was the one that said, Lord, Lord. He was the one that said, I've done this, I've done that. Lord, look at the beautiful house that I've built. Look at all the wonderful things that I've done. But the Lord is not so concerned this morning about how it looks in your life, not how it looks above ground, but how it looks below the ground. Amen. He wants to know where our foundation is this morning. He wants to know where we really are in our relationship with him. Praise God. Praise God. And when we look at the Word of God this morning, we can see this man just started building on the sand. Well, it'll be all right. It's a lot faster. It's a lot cheaper. And maybe he was having a party in his house by the time the man that built on the rock was just laying the floor plan and was still raising walls up, or maybe just now putting sheetrock in his house and getting it to a place where it was starting to look like a house. The man on the sand was already having a party, was already having a good old time in his brand new house, but it was sitting on a foundation that was not very strong at all. And that foundation was that he heard the word of God, but he did not do the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. So first of all, we've got to hear the word of God. Somebody said hear. Got to hear the word of God. How can we hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? Amen. And thank God for the preaching of the word of God. We hear the word of God. But it's not so much what happens here in this building. It's very important. What happens here this morning is very important. And it's very important that we have a place to worship and to preach and to hear the word of God. Somebody said amen to that.
Amen.
I believe that with all of my heart. Amen. I'll come to church when I'm sick if I can. Amen. I know there are situations when you can't. But it is very, very, very important to come and to hear. Amen. Because without hearing, we can't know, we can't understand, and we can't perceive the word of God. Amen. I'm teaching a Bible study to a man that started coming here to the church and never been in a church service at the age of 57, never been in a church service in his life. Does not know anything about the Word of God, does not know anything about the stories of the Word of God, maybe one or two that have been publicized by Hollywood or whatever, but that's all there is to it. Amen. And to hear the Word of God is very, very important. Amen. Last Bible study, we were in chapter 1 and chapter 2 of the book of Genesis. Amen. Most of us here this morning would just pass over that in a few minutes and move on to higher ground. Amen. Because we've heard the words, we've heard it preached from so many times. And folks, I think that we take it for granted. But I'll tell you, while I was teaching Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, the Holy Ghost came in there. Amen. I was teaching on Saturday morning at the assisted living here, and I don't know if they felt anything, but I felt such a power of the Holy Ghost there on Saturday morning while I was teaching. And it was just on the 6 days of creation and the seventh day that God rested. I'll tell you what, this morning, there is such depth and such power in the Word of God. There is such understanding and victory in the Word of God. Amen. And it's up to us who have learned the Word of God to go and to minister that Word of God to others.
Right. Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's not so much to say, yeah, I've been to church. Amen. Well, I go to such and such a church. I go to this church, I go to that church, so-and-so's my pastor, and all of this. But I'm telling you here this morning, that's not enough. Amen. It's not enough to make a confession only, but really where the rubber meets the road is when we walk out of the door of the church. Well, praise God. Amen. It is what we do outside the door of the church. Amen. I read a very famous story in the Bible. Most Bible students know this. Amen. And it is the story of the birthday of the New Testament church. Amen. Found in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And they were there on the day of Pentecost and the Holy Ghost was poured out. But the thing that's really exciting about that story, of course, is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. But The thing that's most exciting about it is all of the people that gathered around and they begin to hear the Word of God. Amen. What real Christianity is hearing the Word of God and doing the Word of God. I know that's very simple, but many, many, many are missing it in our generation today. And they heard the Word of God. And in verse 37 of chapter 2, they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What shall we do? What is the final conclusion of this matter? Oh, you've told us this, that, and the other. You preached about Jesus. You've talked about Jesus. Amen. What must we do? That's why there was such a tremendous revival. Amen. Yet we're living in a generation today. We're living in a time today where it's all facade. And it is all just surface. Amen. And it's all just what we say. And it's all about effects. And we have the ability to have effects. Amen. We have lights that flash and shine during the worship service. And I thought, I wonder if the Lord is controlling those lights. Or is it somebody in a sound room somewhere? I don't think the Lord's the one controlling those lights. Amen. I don't think that if we could get the sound of a rushing mighty wind on the PA system, Brother Greg, and right in the middle of the height of our services, we could just punch a button and we would have the rushing mighty wind that would come in here. And I'll tell you what, I was in a church one time. Maybe I shouldn't even go here this morning. But I was in a church one time, and they had a semi-truck air horn in the church. And I had never seen anything like that before, and I was supposed to preach in this church. And I said, "What in the world have you got one of those for?" Well, whenever things get going, we just hit a blast on that horn. And he said, "You can have good church with an air horn." And I thought, you need to go back and read the Bible again. You need to start over, son. Amen. And dear Lord, that may sound extreme this morning, but most folks won't go to a church unless they have some sort of props on the platform, unless there is some sort of stimulus to stimulate us. There's got to be some smoke coming off of the altar. There's got to be some, well, come on, somebody, help me this morning. I know I'm not completely on my game here this morning, but I'll tell you what, this is the truth. We don't need those things to have a move of God. Amen. Just 2 weeks ago, a gentleman was here in the church, and like I said, had never been in a church service in his life, came to the house of God, came to the altar, praise the Lord, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
No smoke, no lights, no stimulus, just a move of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And what a wonderful thing it is when we see God move. God moves in the midst of those who will obey Him. Praise the Lord. What shall we do? Then Peter said unto them in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent. Everybody said repent.
Repent.
Repent. Have you repented yet? Amen. I have to ask myself that question. Have I repented? Amen. Repent. That means to turn away from. It's not just a verbal confession that says I am sorry, but it is to turn away from. Repent. And. Everybody said and. This is an answer to the question, what shall we do? And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. That's an exciting message this morning, because it goes directly hand in hand with what Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 5. He said, except a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so it comes down to, am I just making a confession that I believe, or am I really willing to actually follow through with it?
Right.
Like the Ethiopian eunuch that said, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Let's stop the chariot right now. Let's go down into the water. And a miracle took place. There was no smoke on the altar. There was no altar. Amen. There was no beautiful music. Thank God for our beautiful music. Amen. There was no beautiful church building to set the stage and the mood. Amen. One pastor of a denominational church was asked how he baptized, and he said, we baptize folks in rose petals. Amen. And we do it at a certain time in the morning when the sun is coming through the stained glass and it's shining on the baptistry, and it's really quite an experience. But you know what? We cannot be baptized in rose petals. We cannot go through a fancy situation here. We just need to obey the Word of God. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. You can read it for yourself in your Bible. Amen. And so we baptize in the name of Jesus because we want to obey the Word of God. It's really that simple. He that hears the Word of God and does it. Amen. He that hears the Word of God and does it. And then he said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And so it is so very, very important. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I wished I had the time this morning to go through the different examples in the book of Acts where salvation came, where people were saved. But let's look at one here, Acts chapter 19. Turn with me in your Bible to the book of Acts chapter 19. And I'm going to be finishing here just shortly. But I want to go over this and look at this real quickly. Amen. And if this will help somebody, I hope it will help you. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. It came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. We don't know about this. They were ignorant of this. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. You know John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus Christ. And then said Paul, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. All right? So these people were baptized by John the Baptist, and before John would baptize them, he said to them, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then when they confessed that Jesus Christ was Lord, amen, he would baptize them. Praise God. Sounds good, doesn't it? Well, at that time, it was the will of God, because John was the forerunner of Jesus, and he preached repentance. Repentance is preparing our heart and our life for the coming of the Lord into our lives. And so the Bible says, when they heard this in verse 5, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And so they didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. They had not been baptized by the biblical baptism, and yet they were believers, and they had done what they knew to do. But when truth came to them, it was a test of sorts, or it was a show of what their foundation was. Were they building their life upon the rock, or were they building it upon the sand? Amen. And they immediately said, "Take us to the water. We're going to get rebaptized."
Amen.
That's what happened. They got rebaptized because baptism is in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Somebody said, "Praise the Lord." 2 Corinthians 4 and 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Amen. And the word "lost" there means to destroy fully, or to perish, or to lose. Oh God, amen. I'm telling you, the destruction that is coming to those that are building on the sand. The Bible says, "And when the floods came, and when the storm came," amen. I don't know if that's altogether just the storms of life, but I got a feeling it's going to be the storm of God's judgment that comes upon this world. And certainly we are living in that day, amen, of the coming of the Lord. Praise God. Here's what's going to be. Here's what's going to be in the bottomless pit. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 11. It says, "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon." And I looked that up. The word Abaddon means a destroying angel. Apollyon means in the Greek a destroyer, or it actually means Satan. Great was the fall of that house. Great was the fall of it. If we don't do the Word of God, I know this is serious. Sister Reed, would you come this morning? I know this is very serious here this morning, but it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God.
Amen.
We must obey the Word of God. We must have something in our heart that says, "I'm not building on the sand. But if I got to dig a little bit deeper, I'm going to dig a little bit deeper. If I've got to go a little bit further, I'm going to go a little bit further until I find that rock and I establish it upon that rock." Because it's not enough just to go to church. Come on now. It's not enough just to go to church. It's not enough just to say, "I love Jesus." It's not enough just to make a verbal confession. But when we walk out the door of the church, there's cursing in our mouth. There are thefts in our life. Amen. There is perversion that we get involved in. Oh God, I know exactly what I'm talking about. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I've seen it so many, many, many times. So many times. I pastored in a church on the East Coast, and there was a man in our church that thought that by doing things he was going to be pleasing to God. And he would go on a 30-day fast. Anybody here this morning been on a 30-day fast? I never have. I don't know if I'd survive the ordeal. He went on 2 30-day fasts. When it was time for church, he would shout, he would back up the preaching of the Word of God, "Amen, amen." He would run the aisles, he'd get out and run around the church. He was so excited, supposedly. But we found out later that when he would go home with his wife, he would beat her. You know what, my friend, I'm telling you this morning, it's not enough to just make the act here at church. You're not fooling anybody. You know who you're fooling? You're fooling yourself. You're just fooling yourself. Amen. With excuses. They're not reasons, they're just excuses why it's okay for me to sin and I don't have to follow the Word of God and obey the Word of God. Amen. And great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. James chapter 1 and verse 22. Again, here's the first pastor of the New Testament church. Pastored about 50,000 people. If anybody saw it all and had done it all, it was him. He said, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You know who we're deceiving? We're deceiving ourselves. We're fooling ourselves. Oh, well, I've believed the Lord, but I've never been baptized in Jesus' name. It's okay. It'll be all right. You know who you're deceiving? You're deceiving yourself. That's the only person that's being fooled is yourself. And God help us. There are enough deceptions in the world that we don't need to be deceiving ourselves on top of it. And he goes on and he says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." That would be a mirror. That glass is a mirror. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." In other words, he comes to church, he hears the word of God, he sees himself, and he says, "Oh God, I got to get to the altar and pray." And he comes to the altar and he prays, or he'll feel the power of God in church and he'll get excited and run the aisles. On Sunday night, usually on Sunday night, praise God. And then Wednesday, where's he at? Oh, well, I don't know where he is. On Sunday morning, where's he at? I don't know where he is. You know what? He's a self-deceiver, deceiving yourself. "Goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." You forget the message, you forget what you feel, you forget what you've experienced, and you go right back out to the hog pen of sin. Go right back out and live the life that you've always lived. The first pastor of the New Testament church said, "Don't do that." Amen. Don't do that. "But whosoever looketh into the perfect law," this is verse 25, "but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the" what? "The work. This man shall be blessed in his deed." Can we stand together this morning? Lord Jesus, we need you this morning. Lord, we need the touch of the Holy Ghost here this morning. I pray, God, that you stir our pure hearts and our pure minds this morning to consider once again the commitment that we made many years ago, that we will stand fast, that we will be steadfast. Oh, God, put something in my heart to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving myself. Lord, don't let anyone here this morning be lost, perish without hope in the bottomless pit with Satan for all of eternity. God, help us to be doers of the word. Help us to leave this place and be doers of the word of God. We need you this morning. We're leaning on you this morning. We're trusting in you this morning. We need your holy hand upon us today. The Holy Ghost is here, folks. We don't have to jump and run and shout to have a move of the Holy Ghost. There's a move of the Holy Ghost here right now. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of a living God. We cannot walk in haughtiness and pride. We cannot walk in the haughtiness of our spirit, but we must be humble. We must be humble. We must be humble.